Hello, fellow Vikings fans. I'm Scotty Ball, and thanks, as always, for visiting those of us here with Vikings Digital Diaries at thesportsdaily.com for another edition of the War Room here in the Wednesday War Room, once again, as it's intended to be in time for each Thursday night game, where we discuss the upcoming fantasy football matchups for this week, and it is the heart of fantasy football playoff time, so hopefully we are going to be providing you some very invaluable future trophy-winning information here on tonight's show, or a reason to hate us because we told you to play the wrong guy and you listened to us, and, you know, either way, we win. But anyway, joining me, as always, to help provide the bulk of the fantasy football expertise here on the show, my co-host with the utmost, the one and only Miles Gorham. How are you doing, Miles?
I'm good, Scotty. Excited to get, you know, to help some people get into the, who are in the playoffs, another victory and, you know, work their way toward the championship.
Absolutely, as am I, and I am hoping that you can help me advance in the playoffs, at least on one of my teams this week. I've got a couple very tough matchup calls, in my opinion. So I will be working that into the show, just so that everybody knows. But it won't all be about that, trust me, it can't. As much as my ego would like it to be, it can all be about me. we are here because we love fantasy football, and the other thing we have in common is that our favorite team is the Minnesota Vikings. We bleed purple and gold. So we usually try to start the show off with our home team's fantasy matchups. And this week, the Vikings are hosting the Indianapolis Colts back at home. Going to be frigid weather. I doubt they'll have the doors open on U.S. Bank Stadium. But the Indianapolis Colts, not the best defense in the world, but you've got Andrew Luck and a really, you know, I don't know, for lack of a better word, impressive, usually, passing game in the Indianapolis Colts offense. However, the Vikings defense has been superb against the pass this year, as well as just in general. And the offense doesn't seem to matter if it's a good, if they're going up against a weak defense like the Colts or not. They always tend to struggle here for the most part this season. What are you, to me on the surface, this is a very avoid for the most part game for fantasy football owners. Do you kind of share that feeling going into this game, and who do you think are going to be some of the exceptions that perform well for their fantasy owners in that Colts at Minnesota game?
Yeah, so for me, I'm probably with the way the Vikings defense has played the last couple of weeks, I'm probably trying to avoid a lot more of the Colts players. You know, the I mean, it sounds like Andrew Luck was either limited or missed practice today with a sore shoulder and a sore elbow, so that's something to keep an eye on for fantasy owners this week, anyways. I would, however, be looking for a backup plan for Andrew Luck. I just think, again, the Vikings defense has been playing really well as of late, and they've been getting after the quarterback a lot more like we saw them doing, you know, early in the season. So I think that's something to keep an eye on, and definitely need a backup plan for. And then it sounds like Dante Moncrief for the Colts, their number two wide receiver behind T.Y. Hilton. Sounds like he was limited today in practice too with a hamstring injury and missed last week's game. So that's something to keep an eye on. He's another guy that I'd probably try and to avoid. So keep it on the, you know, on the cold side. I think T.Y. Hilton might be the only guy that I'd consider starting.
Right. I was going to ask if he is kind of a must play just based off of what he's done so far this year. I want to say he's second amongst wide receivers in receiving yards on the season.
Yeah, so with Harrison Smith being out or potentially being out this week, it sounds like he practiced, so he may be good to go. But either way, I think, you know, they might be able to, you know, take a shot or two deep against us with our safeties. So that's just something to keep an eye on there. Other than that, I'm not really feeling too many of the Colts players. I mean, Frank Gore's a guy, he could be, you know, a potential flex option if you're desperate, because he'll get the bulk of the carries like he always does. But I just still don't see that as being, you know, you'd hope for him to vulture a touchdown, not vulture, but, you know, to get you a touchdown to kind of be relevant in this one for me.
Has Gore been getting much reception opportunities out of the backfield this year, or is that kind of part of his game that's in the past?
I think that's more the past. I think they do sprinkle it in every once in a while just because he's the best running back they have on the team. But, yeah, it looks like, you know, he's the best game he's had in terms of receptions is he's had 5 catches and a touchdown in one game, but he only had like 22 yards. He did have one game against Tennessee earlier in the year. He went 4 for 71. So it's they give him the ball, but it doesn't look like it's too often in the pass game.
Okay. Now, the one thing I was thinking about with T.Y. Hilton when you mentioned Harrison Smith that I think also would make me a little less concerned about going up against this daunting Vikes defense if I was a T.Y. Hilton owner is – and correct me if I'm wrong because I don't watch a ton of Colts football, thank goodness. But they move him around in formations and in play calling quite a bit, right? Like, he's not a Dez Bryant type of receiver who just lines up on one side of the field on the outside. Like, they like to move him around, put him in the slot as well as outside and things like that. Am I correct in that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's more of like that Stephon Diggs, trying to think of a few other guys. Stephon Diggs, Antonio Brown role, where they move him inside, outside. So he does a little bit of everything for that team. I'm not comparing him to either one of those players, but he's a very, very, really – he's a very good receiver in his own right. I like T.Y. Hilton a lot. You know, he's their de facto number one receiver. You know, he's not your prototypical number one, but he definitely is their number one receiver and their big playmaker.
And I'm liking the segue. You bring up Stephon Diggs then, so we'll switch our attention over to the Minnesota Vikings in this game. When I'm looking on paper at the Colts defense, there's yards and points to be had here. And I like the Vikings having a little momentum with the win behind them. Coming back home, I think, is also beneficial. And it would not surprise me at all if someone named Stephon Diggs or Kyle Rudolph or Adam Thielen, somebody in this Vikings receiving core, puts up good fantasy numbers this week against the Colts in what will hopefully be a Vikings win. How are you feeling about the Vikings players going into this game from a fantasy performance standpoint?
Yeah, Diggs is a must-start. I don't think they have anybody that can match up against him. And I know Vontae Davis should still be healthy, but I don't think he's going to move around too much in the slot just because I think we do provide plenty of weapons, which we might not have in the past. So Diggs might not have to be a guy that they have to put Vontae Davis on just because the other guys can hurt him too. But I mean, I don't have any inside intel there, but I think the matchup's great for Diggs. And even when he has been hobbled, I think he's just getting healthier again. So he's a guy that's a must start, you know, high or, you know, mid wide receiver one for me this week. And then you sprinkle in a guy like Kyle Rudolph, who I think is a tight end one. And he continues to be the red zone guy and the touchdown receiving leader on the team too. So he's got, I think, 6 touchdowns now this year. So he's another guy to expect to potentially get in the end zone this week. And then you always throw in a guy like Adam Thielen who sees plenty of targets each week too.
Coming off a 100-yard game.
Yeah, he's the second leading, the number two receiver on the team. I mean, he's definitely earned it, played very well. I think he's been phenomenal. I love the way he's been playing. And then you sprinkle in a guy like Jerick McKinnon, who's starting to see a lot more targets out of the backfield than he has earlier in the season, and I think that's a good thing because that's more of his skill set. He's not a pounded, you know, every down back. He's more of a scat back guy, you know, you get in space and you create mismatches for. So I think if they can continue to do that and spell him with Matt Asiata, I think McKinnon will get more and more effective in that role. Especially if Adrian Peterson comes back.
And that's where I wanted to go next and get your thoughts on. I think I'm in 2 leagues actually where we go all the way to week 17 yet. We don't cut
oh,
it
wow.
off in
okay.
week 16. Yeah. So And even if you do have one more week yet and you're still playing, you know, you can at least take next week's Packers game into factor. But if you're someone who's still playing and has a dead weight roster spot on their team, when you're done listening to this podcast, should you go out and get Adrian Peterson just to have in case for next week? And if you're, you know, in some weird leagues like I am, the final week 17?
Yeah, I think it's something to keep an eye on. I would just keep an eye on. He's a guy, if you have an extra roster spot, and, you know, for somebody that you don't need, yeah, why not? Put him on there, check and see how he – I wouldn't start him if he plays in Green Bay, just because we haven't seen him since week two, last time they played Green Bay. So
agreed.
And, again, this run offense hasn't been good. And if Adrian's not, you know, 100% yet, which I wouldn't expect him to be his first game back, but, you know, being a bit rusty, I'd probably sit him and, you know, and kind of see how things go and to try to segue that into playing him against the Bears. If it's not even just about the numbers for me against Green Bay, it'd be more about how he looks and how things are progressing. But yeah, that's kind of how
ability to move, way that he needs to, sure.
Yeah, that's it for me, though.
All right. Well, I guess we'll move on then. Hopefully, I mean, I guess one last thing on the Vikings-Colts game. How are you feeling about the chances just overall as a team to win this game? I'm feeling really good about this one. I think we're going to build on our momentum. The home field advantage is going to play a factor. And we are going to score some points and move the ball on that crummy Colts defense and come out with a win. Are you feeling that we're going to get a win in this one too?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this team's better than Jacksonville is, but I think they have some similarities with the way their team is right now. The Colts also don't have as good of a defense as the Jaguars do.
Correct.
And but at the opposite end, they have a better quarterback than. And Andrew Luck is significantly not better than Blake Bortles, but yeah, I'm pretty confident going into this week. Their offensive line's not very good. Our defensive line and defense in general started to pick it up the last few weeks, getting after the quarterback.
Yep.
So if you can get after Andrew Luck early and often, I think we should be able to put this game away fairly early. Kind of in a similar way to me, like the Houston Texans game before the bye. You know, if you can get some big plays on offense and then get after the quarterback on defense and maybe force a turnover or two and kind of put this one away in the third, you know, midway through the third quarter, that'd be great.
No, I agree. I think this could be one of those weeks where the Vikings defense and special teams helps a lot of fantasy football owners advance in the playoffs. I'm hoping that is the case at least, because that'll almost certainly result in a Vikings win. The other game we'll single out before we kind of go to just general matchups of who we like and who we don't like is the Thursday night game, which features the Seattle Seahawks hosting the St. Louis Rams. Want to touch on that one since it's the early game and everyone needs at least those players in their lineup or out of their lineup. If you're a Todd Gurley owner, if you're a Russell Wilson owner, maybe you got Doug Baldwin. You don't know if, you know, I mean, he's a guy that's kind of a starter sit sort of dude. What are your thoughts on this Thursday night Rams at Seattle matchup?
Yeah, so I'm a Russell Wilson owner. Unfortunately, I kind of played the weather, you know, being a Midwest person, I kind of looked into the weather for the Green Bay game and kind of figured it'd be a little iffy, which it was. So I went away from Russell Wilson last week, which turned out to be a blessing in disguise, because I had Matt Ryan on the other end who was able to put up some pretty big numbers and helped me advance in the playoffs, luckily. But
nice.
If you're a Russell Wilson owner and you started him last week, my guess, I mean, this might not be everybody, I would assume, but my guess is you probably didn't win because you threw five interceptions, and a lot of leagues you can get negative points for that.
Yep.
But I mean, if you're still in it and you do have Russell Wilson, I think this is a really good matchup. The Rams have kind of folded over. I mean, they just fired their head coach.
Yep.
They're at home, so, I mean, we always see this. We do see this Seahawks team play so much better at home than they do on the road.
Right.
Divisional game, so it might be a little bit more of a low-scoring game, but Wilson, I would expect Wilson to kind of get things going a little bit more than he has the last couple of weeks.
What about the running back in Seattle? Do you like him this week against that Rams defense? You know, if it's going to be a little more low scoring, maybe the rushing attempts are up a little more.
Not really. I mean, there hasn't been much for Todd Gurley this year. I think the best he's done is, you know, a two touchdown game, but he's only got 4 touchdowns on the season. So I mean, last week he scored in against Atlanta, so that kind of helped, but he's a touchdown dependent guy for me right now, because he hasn't topped 100 yards. They've only given him the ball. He's only rushed, only had 20 plus carries 3 times. So, I don't know. It's tough for me in Seattle against that defense to rely on a guy like Todd Gurley. So again, he'd be a touchdown dependent guy for me.
Sure. What about the Seahawks running back?
Yeah. Thomas Rawls. I mean, again, these are 2 really good defenses, and as bad as St. Louis has been, they do have a pretty good defense. I do like Rawls, though. He'd be more of a RB2 for me this week, though, instead of a, you know, RB1, just because of that defense. Rawls has looked pretty good since he's been back from the injury, though, and I think they'll try to establish a run, especially if the weather's pretty cold up there in Seattle.
How about the players in the Seahawks receiving core, like Jimmy Graham, Doug Baldwin, any of those guys that you feel particularly good about this week?
Yeah, I would say Jimmy Graham's probably the guy for me that would be the good start this week, just because he was quiet last week in Green Bay, only had 1 catch, but I think they'll get him going again. And I think he's got a better matchup against St. Louis than Doug Baldwin might. But again, it's a tough one for me. It's really hard to rely on the Seahawks offense in general right now.
It is.
But I would put Jimmy Graham, to me it would depend on your tight end situation, but he'd be a guy for me if you had some lesser known names, like on the flip side, like a Lance Kendricks for St. Louis, or a CJ Fedora, which he's pretty banged up in Houston. I'd probably lean Jimmy Graham, because you know he's healthy and he's good to go. And for Doug Baldwin, he's probably like a mid-round wide receiver 2 for me this week. He'll get the targets like he usually does. I just hope he takes advantage of it this week.
Right, and you know, if it was a different team, I would point out the Earl Thomas injury in Seattle,
yeah,
and how that might affect some you know, of the other team's offensive success. But with it being the Rams, I feel that it's kind of kind of a moot point, at least this week. So hopefully there's everything you need to know for your Thursday players, if you have any on your team. Before we get to the other matchups, just in general with players that we like and don't like this week, I brought up Earl Thomas with the Seahawks. Ryan Tannehill got hurt last week, quarterback of the Dolphins, and probably a lot of people don't have Ryan Tannehill. I have Jarvis Landry on one of my teams, so that kind of comes into play in some decision making. What do you have for us as far as other injuries that either are to a fantasy player that some people probably have or might affect you know, some fantasy performances?
Yeah, the list is fairly long this week. You know, it's one of those, that time of the year, a lot of people are injured. But I mean, this isn't an injury, but it was a suspension, so you kind of treat it like it was an injury.
Sure.
Alshon Jeffrey's back.
That's right.
From his 4-game suspension. So if you held on to him and made it through the first round of the playoffs, he is having like probably one of his down year, probably his worst year in the pros, but I think he could provide a good boost for the Bears against the hated Green Bay Packers at home on Sunday. So there's him. Again, that's suspension, not injury. But then moving down, you got A.J. Green, who was back at practice today, which is kind of surprising because there were some reports that he could be out for the season. But it sounds like he's trying to get back and he's practicing. So that's something to keep an eye on, because if he's good to go, he might be a decent matchup. Trying to just
Steelers,
double make sure.
Yeah.
Yes, they're playing the Steelers.
And it's in Cincinnati.
Yep. That pass defense isn't anything to write home about. And
agreed.
I mean, when he's healthy, generally, anyways, he's a top five receiver in the league. Yep. I'm sure if he's 75%, he's still going to be better than a lot of guys. And Andy Dalton doesn't have many other options anyways. So that's something to keep an eye on. He's not a guy I'm going into the week on Sunday relying on, but it'd be a nice surprise.
Yeah, you definitely want to check that injury report, you know, yep, before noon if you got A.J. Green.
Yeah, but again, just make sure you got a backup plan.
Right.
And then moving down to my list, for the Vikings game we talked about earlier, Dante Moncrief's got a hamstring injury. He's been limited, so that's something to keep an eye on. He's a guy that might be tough to want to play anyways, but if he's hobbled against his Vikings defense, it just kind of makes me less and less reliable on him and like confident in him this week. And then moving down, Brandon Marshall, he's got a knee, a foot, and a back injury going on. I mean, the guy's just he's a walking cast right now. I mean, he was limited in practice, but I watched part of the game on Sunday in overtime, you know, late in part of overtime against the 49ers, and he was just a decoy. He barely moved off the line of scrimmage at all toward the end of that game. So
yep.
That for me is a red flag in terms of fantasy, especially coming into this week. I mean, I'm sure he'll be a little bit better than he was last week, but he's a guy, another one that I'm just not relying on this week because that's a, you know, there's a lot of injuries and a lot of things that might be hard to overcome for him this week.
And just the Jets passing game in general this season and their quarterback situation.
Bryce Petty
I definitely don't want playoff hopes relying on the Jets passing attack.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. This list is pretty long. Theo Riddick for the Detroit Lions, he hurt his wrist, so that's something to keep an eye on. I think he missed practice today. Yeah, he missed practice today, so another one of those guys you don't want to go into the week relying on.
And that's not the biggest of the Lions' concerns, is it?
As injury goes. Yeah. Matthew Stafford, he was seen, I saw some clips earlier in the day, Matthew Stafford's middle, his middle finger on his throwing hand, he's got like this weird glove that just covers his middle finger with a little like splint on the end because the end of the finger knuckle is like 90 degrees or 75 degrees, whatever they said, I'm not 100% sure. He's going to have a hard time throwing him. I saw some clips from their practice today, excuse me, and it looked like it was tough for him to throw. So that's something to keep an eye on because, I mean, as a Vikings fan, I'm rooting for the Giants this
right.
week anyways.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword because do we, you know, going after the division's going to be really tough, but, you know, they're playing the Giants, who, again, are another wild card because my guess is the Cowboys will lock up the division for the East, but that's neither here nor there.
Where I stand on that real quick is I kind of have the Giants penciled in as that number one wild card, and I have the Vikings competing for the second wild card spot, as well as still competing for the division title if the Lions can lose out and the Vikings can win out. So that's where I lean a little bit more towards cheering for the Giants in that one this week.
Yeah,
as well, but.
No, definitely. So that's something to keep an eye on. So Matthew Stafford, which would affect his receivers, he might not be able to throw the ball downfield the way he normally can or, you know, get the zip on the ball like he's got, which will affect, you know, Marvin Jones, Eric Ebron, and Golden Tate. And then to go along with an ailing Theo Riddick for that. So
I would even throw out there, too, that depending on the extent or the impact that has on the offense's production, that could actually increase the fantasy point totals of an Eli Manning or an Odell Beckham Jr. If, you know, Stafford is having trouble moving the ball and keeping the offense on the field and giving more possessions and more time to that Giants offense. Don't quote me on that, but I'm just saying, like, you know,
that's a really good point. That's something I think a lot of people wouldn't think about.
It can affect the whole side. It's very, you know, football's the ultimate team game, and It's just everything has a ripple effect. So just another thing to keep in mind. Any more big injuries you got for us?
I don't expect anybody to be starting Ryan Tannehill, but he's out this week with that knee injury. Melvin Gordon, he hurt his hip, and it looks like he's going to be doubtful this week. They are San Diego.
San Diego's hosting the Raiders.
The Raiders, so they got a divisional game. But the guy to fill in for him, if you know, he'd be the best option if you had Melvin Gordon and didn't have anybody else backing him up. Or you have to roster start two running backs, and you had another running back, but you need a fill in for Melvin Gordon. Kenneth Farrell, his backup, looks to be the go to guy for the Chargers, so he might be a guy you want to consider this week.
All right, I also think that might play into the favor too of Philip Rivers owners. Anybody who's hoping for, Hunter Henry or an Antonio Gates or a Travis Benjamin or a Tyrell Williams or any of that whole cast.
Dontrell Inman supporting would characters. Probably be the guy, but yeah.
Right, Inman, yeah, exactly. But I definitely think that helps out there if you're looking for those guys. But going against that Raiders defense, I think Melvin Gordon owners would be really happy with the results if he were able to go. But like I said, maybe Philip Rivers owners will reap the rewards. So since we're kind of on matchups that we like here, let's stick with the quarterbacks, close those out a little bit. We've talked about Russell Wilson, we've talked about Philip Rivers and a few others. Who are you really feeling most confident about as your fantasy football quarterback this week?
Yeah, Matt Ryan, he plays the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, I feel like that's an awesome matchup.
Yeah, I just feel like any solid team not named the New York Jets can put it on the San Francisco 49ers. I kind of expect this to be a blowout, and that offense should be able to get after them early and often.
Yep.
So I like Matt Ryan a lot. Tyrod Taylor plays Cleveland. That's a really good matchup for him because I know he's been struggling as of late. So if you are you're kind of a zero QB, draft. When it comes to the draft,
sure.
You kind of didn't
right.
You didn't go high, and Tyrod was the guy you ended up getting late in the rounds. And you still hold on to him. I think he's a good play this week. Looking to bounce back. And then let's see here, Carson Palmer against New Orleans. That's another solid matchup. I mean, I know he's another guy that's struggled a bit, but he looks to have a lot better matchup than for this week to kind of bounce back for.
Floyd, Cardinals. If you still have Michael Floyd on your team for some reason, you can drop him and go get somebody else.
Yeah, that was a kind of surprising one, but at the same time, I mean, he kind of dug himself a hole there. He's in a contract a year, and goes and gets a DUI the day after the game. So tough for him. He's a guy I wouldn't mind seeing in Minnesota next year, but that's a bigger conversation for another day. But
yeah, that's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, right. But yeah, those are a lot of quarterbacks I like this week. And then you sprinkle in, like you mentioned earlier, Eli Manning against Detroit. Those are a lot of the quarterbacks I'm really banking on this week for fantasy owners. Oh, and then probably Big Ben too.
I was going to mention Big Ben on the road against the Bengals.
But he's on the road. That's the only thing you kind of worry about with him. He had three interceptions last week, and the weather was terrible. So,
and they don't need to get a bunch of yards through the air when you got Le'Veon Bell jumping over people and running around people for over 200 yards.
Yeah, he almost broke Adrian Peterson's the rushing record in one game. He looked great. He could argue. I know he missed four games like Tom Brady, but if Tom Brady's in that MVP category, there's no way that Le'Veon Bell shouldn't be either.
I think that's a great point. I completely agree with that. I think there's plenty of people being left out of the MVP conversation right now that really should be in it. I don't hear Derek Carr's name brought up enough. No one's ever said Alex Smith. I don't hear
Alex Smith.
All the quarterbacks of these winning teams, your Staffords, your Matt Ryans, even Jameis Winston, if they can continue on a tear and close out. He's actually a quarterback
which we
I like
hope they
this
don't.
Week. Right, we definitely hope they don't. But I do like him, even though he's on the road this week. He is going up against a Cowboys pass defense that's not very good. So Winston maybe has a decent matchup. I also like Kirk Cousins at home against the Panthers on Monday night. I think that's a decent matchup as well. And yeah, you brought up Big Ben. That's pretty much, I'm in consensus on quarterbacks.